We sang together there tonight that tremendous hymn, "What a Wonderful Change in My Life Has Been Wrought Since Jesus Came Into My Heart. I have life in my soul which so long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart." This is the song of the redeemed. This is the song of those who have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And I would say if Matthew had that song or that hymn in his day, this collector, he would have sang it. He was saved in a moment. In verse 9 it tells us that Jesus Christ was passing by and he just looked at Matthew. And then what do you notice here tonight? Matthew heard no fancy sermon. He was sitting and he was working. And the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by and he looked at him and he says, "Follow me." That's what he said to him. And dear friends, he arose and he followed Jesus. He was saved in a moment. It would be tremendous here tonight in this meeting that the Lord, even now, before we deliver the sermon, would speak to some people in this meeting without Christ, and he would look at you and say, "Listen, follow me. For years you've been following the world. You've been following others. You've been following sin. You're being lost and are lost." He says, "Follow me." What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Matthew could sing it, you know, if he knew the words. "Since Jesus came in to my heart." A tremendous change took place. He got a new heart. Gone was that love of sin he had in his heart. He got a new hope. Jesus Christ was now his Savior and he now was on his way to heaven. He got a new home because verse 10 reveals to us he brought the Lord Jesus Christ home. You see, salvation makes a difference. It changes us. It changes our heart. It changes our homes. And if your profession of faith has not changed you in any shape or form, I have to say to anyone here tonight, what you have is not true conversion. It's only a profession. Because I want to show you tonight, as you'll see, the Lord Jesus changes you dramatically. He dramatically. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ sitting in this home, and it tells us that there were publicans out that was tax collectors. And there were sinners, they were friends of Matthew. He got them all into his house and they gathered round the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the old Pharisees didn't like it. You say, "Well, who's the Pharisees?" They were the religious rulers of that day, particular day. They didn't like what they could see. Now, here was this man who claimed to be holy, to be the Son of God, and there he is, he's sitting, and all around him were these sinners and publicans. Of course, they complained. And you can see that in verse 10 or verse 11. They said unto his disciples, "Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" They didn't like what they were seeing. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ, and all around him were these publicans and sinners of the very lowest. And they asked the disciples, they didn't ask Christ, "What's he doing? What's he doing with such company? Talking to them, eating with them, drinking with them." You see, in their particular laws, and they had different laws about associating with publicans. For instance, they said when the king's collectors enter into a house to dwell, all that are in the house are defiled. That's what they said. If you bring one of these men into your house, you've defiled everybody in the house. And they were saying these publicans, these tax collectors, are evil and they're sinful. And you don't touch them. And you don't even go into their company. And if you invite them into your house, you'll defile everybody in the house. They were saying, "Why? Why is the Lord Jesus among them?" The Lord Jesus heard it. He knew what was taking place in the hearts of these men. He knew what they were saying. And so it says in verse 12, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And you know what Christ was saying? I'm in the right place. I came to save sinners. As he said on down, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And he's given a picture here of a hospital ward. There's the patients, and there's a physician. For he said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And I want us to think about this tonight. And first of all, you can see the sinner's plight mentioned here by Christ. He describes the sinner as one who is sick. Well, that's a term everybody here can identify. I'm sure everybody in this meeting at some stage in their life has been physically sick. And the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about these publicans and sinners who's gathered all around him, and he's describing them as men who are sick. But when you follow that word particularly in the Bible, you'll find it's translated in other ways. For instance, in Matthew 14, verse 35, it says, all that were diseased. That's the same Greek word for sick. In Matthew 15, verse 22, the lady was speaking about her daughter, and she said, she's grievously vexed. That's the same word for sick. The man who had the lunatic son, he said, he is sore vexed. And the Lord Jesus in John 18, verse 23, he said, if I have spoken evil, that's the same Greek word as sick. And you can see here immediately that the picture the Lord Jesus is painting, it is something, dear friends, of people who's in a serious condition. He's not referring, of course, to physical sickness, because they're all right. They all went into his house. They all heard, you know, he's in Matthew's house. They all walked it. Not that the man's sick of the palsy had to be carried. They walked to it. They came to them. They were sitting. Listen, they were eating. They were drinking. There was nothing wrong physically with them. They had their appetite. And you know yourself, when you're sick, you've no appetite. But the Lord Jesus said they're sick. Spiritually sick. Spiritually sick. And we come to the Bible, of course, we find that is true. That is the truth that the Lord proclaims to us in his word. That people brought into this world are naturally sick. And I'm talking here about soul sickness with sin. Because the Bible teaches us, as soon as a little boy or girl is brought into this world, they receive this sickness the Lord Jesus is speaking about. They're born with the seeds of sin within their breast. As soon as they come into this world, they've got this sickness. Think what David said. David said, you know, in Psalm 51 and verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And he was a holy man of God, but yet he traced back, friends, right into his life and right into his heart. This sickness, this came into his life as soon as he came into this world. He was born with this sickness. Psalm 58, verse 3, it says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Notice, speaking lies. We spend our time teaching our children to tell the truth, not to sin. We don't have to teach our children how to sin. You know that yourself. Those of us who have children, we know, of course, you do not have to teach them to sin. We try to tell them not to sin, not to go to certain places, not to say certain things, not to do certain things as well. We spend our time teaching them these things. Why is it? Because they're naturally sick. The corruption of sin runs in the blood of a human race, from parents to children. From the fall of Adam, dear friends. And this is true of all of us. All of us have this terrible condition of sin in our hearts and in our life. Not one person escapes apart from Christ. And I was brought into this world, and you were brought into this world. The Lord says you're sick. Hey, you may physically, you're bouncing. You have your health and strength. But this serious illness of sin is in your heart and in your life. Not only naturally sick, but miserably sick as well. You see, this sickness the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about, it's overpowering. Now, we see people today who's sick. I'm talking about people who are seriously sick. They cannot walk. They cannot run. There's some people who can hardly talk. I was asked to go see a man yesterday morning in the Victoria Hospital in Belfast. I went into the high dependency ward to see him. As soon as I walked through the door, nobody had to tell me that this man was bad. Nobody had to tell me. I knew it. Tubes, pipes everywhere. He could hardly speak with me. Dear friends, he had a terrible illness. See, the Lord Jesus talked about Peter's wife's mother was less sick of the fever. He's not saying here about people who's got a little cold, who has got the flu. He's not speaking about people here with a tummy bug. No, dear friends, he's talking here about people who has great sickness. They that are sick because sin is serious. It is serious. It's a killer disease. For people that dread to get the terrible disease of cancer. Maybe some has had it here and they've battled through it and conquered it at the minute. Thank the Lord. But there are people dread it. But friends, we have this terrible plague within our heart and it's called sin. And it paralyzes people. Puts them right down in the gutter. If you read maybe last week, I heard about a young fellow from Australia. He was only 19 years old. He was drinking with his friends and there's a little slug came across, I think it was a piano. No, it was a ground outside. And for a dare, he said he would lift it and he would eat it. The biggest mistake he made. Because within that particular worm, it carried a deadly poison. It put him in a coma for over a year. He found himself paralyzed. For 10 years, he could hardly move. They had to bring him home. And you want to see the photographs of that young fellow because of what he did. Friends, he died last week. Just by one mistake. He couldn't move. He had to rely on 24/7 cure. He was down. He was brought right down because of it, friends. And when I come to the Bible, I see the sin has brought us down to the very gutter. That's where it brings us down. You're not paralyzed. We're paralyzed. You read the word of the living God in Romans chapter 3. It tells us there in the verse 10 that there is none righteous. Listen, no, not one. Not one person can do righteousness. Why is it? Friends are paralyzed, spiritually paralyzed. He says, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. And we don't want to talk about the sins in our life. You see, what happens, friend? Sin brings us right down. It puts us on our back. And you cannot do anything to please God. And people try, of course. They say, well, I'll go to church. I'll say a few prayers. I'll read my Bible. And I'll be all right, dear friends. It's not enough. It's not enough to get you into heaven. Sin has brought you down. Brought you down. Remember Christ said in John 6 verse 44. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw. He's showing us here that you're a spiritual cripple. You can't walk. You can't come to him. You can't follow him. You can't love him. Why is it? Because you're sick. Spiritual sickness. The corrupt worm of sin is within you. Now, if I was saying this tonight, you'd say, no, a salesman is mad. But Christ said it. This is his description of the human race, in a sense. This was his description of the people who were all gathered around him. And he says, look at these men. They're sick. But he's talking about their heart. He's talking about their soul. He's talking about their spirit. Dear friends, we're sick within them. And everything about them, friends, this worm of sin, of sickness, affected their eyes. They couldn't see. Now, of course, they could see physically, but they couldn't see spiritually. That he was in the world, in John 1 and verse 7, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see their sin. The old Pharisees, they couldn't see their sin. You see, what does it do, this sickness? It affects people's eyes. They can't see that Christ is the Savior. They can't see their sin. They think, I'm all right. I don't do much wrong in my life. It affects their ears. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark 4, verse 9, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, of course they had ears. But you see, they were sick. Couldn't hear. Couldn't see. Their heart, maybe physically was healthy. But no, dear friends, not spiritually. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the heart. This is God's analysis of the human heart. It's desperately wicked. You have a bad heart. If you're not saved in this meeting tonight, your heart is bad. Your eyes are bad. Your ears are bad. Your feet are bad. Your hands are bad. You're sick. Sin has corrupted you. Sin has taken you away from God. And not only, dear friends, are you miserably sick, dangerously sick. I walked into that ward yesterday morning, I knew immediately this man is seriously ill. I want to tell you here tonight, he's dead. He's dead this morning. I was talking to him yesterday morning. He's dead. I just heard it. He was dangerously sick. It's not looking good. I just knew. By looking at him. I want to tell you here tonight, we want to be honest with God's word. We don't butter people up when they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to be honest. And if you go to the doctor, what do you want? You want an honest assessment of how you're doing. You don't want to go to the doctor and you're seriously ill and he looks at you and he says, you've only got a little rash. I'll give you a bit of cream for it. You would not want that. You don't want me to say to you tonight, you're not too bad. Give you a couple of sticky plasters to stick it over those little blemishes in your heart and your life. Give you a little cream or something you can rub on and everything's going to be well. Dear friends, you wouldn't want me to do that. But if you're in your sin here tonight, I want to warn you. You're in great danger. You're in great danger. You're in danger of death, of course. You're in danger of hell. Because that's what the Bible teaches, where those who die without Jesus Christ, they'll be lost, and they'll be lost for all eternity. This is the sinner's plight. The Lord Jesus says, they're sick. Are you honest tonight? You say, yes, I know my heart. It is wicked. I look at my life. I listen to my words. I see my actions. I know it's not well with me. I know it's not well with my soul. What is wrong with you? You're sick. Spiritually sick. Oh, maybe you're jogging. Maybe you're running and fit and all the rest of it. But I'm talking about your soul. Sin has blemished you. Sin, my friends, has ruined you and will ruin you. Father, you lose your soul. And really, you're sitting in a ward tonight. We can maybe put it like this in our church building. And the Lord is looking down upon you and he says, you're sick. I see your life. I see your heart. I hear your words. I see your actions. You're a sick person. Are you sick of sin tonight? Are you sick of the world tonight? Ask yourself these questions. Do you admit, Lord, I am sick? Or do you say, no, there's nothing wrong with me? That's how dangerous this sickness is. People have all these things wrong with them. And you know what it is? They don't believe it. They don't see it. Is the devil subtle? Isn't sin subtle? That he gets a person into such a spiritual condition and they don't see it. And they say, there's nothing wrong with me. That's how serious this sickness is, friends. It blinds a man from all things. That's the way the Lord describes you here tonight in this meeting. Do you say, yes, no, I know I'm not right. I know if I die tonight, I'll be lost in hell for all eternity. That's a terrible thing. But if you're ever going to be healed, you must come to this place. You never want. Like if I'm not sick, I don't want to see a doctor. You say to me, no, I'll go to see the doctor. Say, what did I go to see a doctor for? There's nothing wrong with me. And you'll never come to Christ if you don't see that there's something wrong here in my heart and my life. You'll never seek him. Do you know tonight that you are sick? You are in trouble. You're facing death and you're facing destruction. The sinner's plight. You're a sick person tonight. Remember I said in the beginning, he's using a word, not a tummy bug or a flu or a cold, something serious. Serious position you're in tonight. But he talks about the sinner's physician. And this is the good news of the gospel. And there's one sitting among this people who has the answer. The great physician is Jesus Christ. He says, they that behold thee, not a physician, but they that are sick. He is the physician. He is the physician. He's a doctor in the sense, using the terms we're looking at here tonight. He has the authority to heal. He has the authority. Remember Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Notice he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord God has anointed me and he has sent me. Notice those terms. He has sent me. He has sent me to heal people. He has sent me to the sick, you see. He's got the divine diploma that he can save to the very uttermost. And Jesus Christ has the authority. And nobody else has this authority. He has sent me. That's what Christ is saying. He is the great physician. We looked the other night at Acts 4 and verse 12 where Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, Christ is the Savior. He is the only one who can save us. He's the only one who can heal us. He's the only one who can heal you and save you. What do we find today? People try to heal themselves. Try to save themselves. They try other false physicians, whatever it may be, friends. But it's only Christ can do it. He has the authority of a physician. Think about his ability. The Lord Jesus has the ability to heal and to save the soul of a sinner. There's no case too hard for him. People today may go to a doctor and the doctor's looking at them and they're doing this test and that test, another test, and they're racking their brains trying to find out the problem. There are some doctors and they only specialize on certain parts of the body. It may be the kidneys, maybe the heart, maybe the liver, maybe the feet, it may be the nose. And when you look up the terms that they have, they're big words just to tell you what they specialized field is. I actually refer to them, he's a heart mechanic or a back mechanic or thing, whatever it may be, because some of the big words to put on them. What does that man do? You You need a dictionary. I do. They only specialize in a certain field. But I want you to listen to me tonight. The Lord Jesus specializes in all fields. All fields. Isn't that wonderful? All fields. In Matthew 15, verse 30, it says, and great multitudes. Can you see them? They came unto him, having with them those that were lame, and they were blind and dumb and maimed, and many others cast him down at Jesus' feet. Notice, and he healed them. Didn't matter what was wrong with them. Didn't matter, friends, if they were lame or blind or dumb or maimed or lepers, whatever the case may be. When they came to the feet of Jesus Christ, he healed them all. There was no case too hard for Jesus Christ. He's a great physician. And he can heal, he can save all sinners. Drunkards, no problem. Harlots, no problem. Liars, yes, he can save liars. Blasphemers, murderers, thieves, whatever it may be, he can cure all diseases. He can save all types of sinners. He has that ability. He can do it. If we ask people to stand up tonight and say, well, what was your pet sin? Someone said, well, I used to drink. And some say, I used to gamble. Maybe some will say, well, I used to be on the drugs, but we're saved. We've been healed. Because Christ can cure all diseases. And whatever your case is tonight, I want to say, he can save your soul. He can do it. He has the ability to heal those who have been sick a long time. You go through the Bible, you think over there, John chapter 5, without turning to, there was a man which had an infirmity 38 years. 30 years, 38 years sitting at the pool of Bethesda. And friends, he couldn't walk hardly. He couldn't rise to get into this pool. But the Lord Jesus came and says, arise, take up thy bed and walk. He got up immediately. I mean, 38 years, he said, nobody could help him. Nobody else could heal him, but Christ healed him. Maybe you're getting on in life. Maybe you're a long time in sin. But Jesus Christ can still heal you. Isn't that amazing? Many years you've wandered far away from God. He can still save you. He has the power to do it. And the ability to heal in a moment. It says to the leper in Matthew 8 verse 3, the Lord Jesus says, I will be thy clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In a moment he healed them. And he can take away your sin here tonight in the blink of an eye. He can save you tonight in this meeting. In a moment. And he heals completely as well. There's no danger of any relapse from his patients. Doctors today do not guarantee it. You may go and say, well, as far as we know, it's all away from you and you're cured. But friends, before they know, and I know people, and they came back and they're gone. But what a wonderful change Christ makes. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things become new. He heals completely. He saves to the very uttermost. There's no danger of you going back into the world or heading down towards hell. He saves completely. He's a great physician. He doesn't lose any under his cure either. How many times the doctors, they come out and say, I'm afraid we've lost him. The Lord Jesus is a great physician. He loses none. I give unto them eternal life, listen, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He'll not lose you. He'll heal you and save you. He uses great medicine, you see, to heal. And he uses only one method. And I say to him, are you listening to what he uses to heal us? In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, when he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There is the answer for our sin, for our soul. It's with his stripes. It's with the blood we're healed. There's the answer. For all people, doesn't matter, friends, who they are, There's only one answer to blood. That's why we sang tonight. Been washed in the blood of the Lamb. For all periods of time, he never changes his method. Jesus Christ died upon the cross and shed his blood to save us. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Well, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Friends, nothing else can wash away our sin. It's not your works. It's not water. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And you need to get to Christ, repenting from your sin, and trust him, and he will save you. There's no other answer. This is why he said, I am the physician. But Lord, how is it you can save people? How is it you can take away their sin? It's his stripes. It's his blood. There's no other answer. God loved his Son and sent his Son to die for us. And if we trust him, he gave us everlasting life. Your answer is Christ and Christ only. You think of his authority. You think of his appointment. We think of the waiting list today. I came across figures today in Wales. There's 375,000 are experiencing delays in Wales, waiting on an appointment. And the great thing about it is this, dear friends, you can get an appointment with Jesus Christ now. Just now. Isn't that amazing? You ring a doctor and he might be able to come back in a week's time and I'll see you. And maybe there's some people here tonight and you're waiting to see a specialist. And you're still waiting. I know people today and they're waiting for months and months and months, waiting on an operation. Maybe it's years. But here, you know what I want to tell you here tonight, close. The Lord Jesus is waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Come on to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. He's waiting on you. Would you enter to him? Would you come to him and say, Lord, would you save me tonight? Will you take away my sin tonight? You need this, friends. Come to him. He's the only Savior. Trust him with all your heart. And ask him to save your soul. And he'll do it. And if I can help you, Mr. Baxter, we'd be glad to speak with you. But remember tonight, you've heard the answer for your soul. For your sin is Jesus Christ and his blood. Trust him.